to Heatwave Sports.
And welcome back to Hour 2 of Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio. Tim Ungles, BRA Platinum, and we are out at the Beer Park, Paris Hotel Casino, live on the Las Vegas Strip. You're looking for a place for the big game tomorrow, the Beer Park Viewing Party. 40-plus TVs, buffet-style food, guaranteed seating, and the best view on the Las Vegas Strip. I'm literally looking at the Bellagio fountains going off right now. Wonderful, wonderful place if you need a place to go watch the game. And we're breaking down Super Bowl 5-3, Rams and the Pats. A couple new guys joining the round table right now. First, on my left-hand side, he is totally not biased, a great friend of the show, Mr. Steve Roy. Steve, welcome back.
Always a pleasure. The weather's usually much nicer when we meet in August for our fantasy football. But, you know, what are you going to do? We'll just grin and bear it tonight and talk some Super Bowl.
I don't know how you can be non-biased when you have Patriots gear, I mean, basically head to toe. So explain that to me, please.
Oh, just a homer. Just an absolute homer. Been in Vegas 23 years, but grew up watching them. They broke my heart for the first 30-plus years of my life, and it's been a wonderful ride the last 18. I can't complain about anything.
All right, we're going to get your analysis on the big game. To my right, everybody knows this gentleman. He also shares the Fox airwaves with us from Out of Line. You can hear it every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. He's got a big show tomorrow lined up over at Buffalo Wild Wings if you're looking for a destination as well. Mr. Brian Feldman. Brian, it's the first time we've had you on Heatwave Sports, man. Can you believe that?
It's amazing. As long as we've known each other, man, I finally get to open a microphone. I don't know how long you'll let me keep it open, but, man, I love listening to you and Tommy, man, so it's an honor. I appreciate it, brother.
Thank you. Tom, we got two new guys to go through here, Tommy. So, but yeah, I guess you got a couple tweets there on the Twitter for us.
Yeah, I've got a couple tweets coming through. First of all, somebody does understand this officiating crew. And Armando threw it out there. I'm sorry, Fernando threw it out there and said, over 7 flags is what he likes in the game. Okay, yeah, I could see that. Lots of flags. They usually don't like to be a part of the game, but the officiating crew is definitely a little flag happy. And he asked Ron Armando something I talked about. Do the Rams belong? And the answer is no. Okay, but they're here. I mean, it is what it is. They are here. You guys could jump on board. It's HW Sports on Twitter, Tom Barton Sports over on Twitter. Whether you want to sit back and say, they don't belong, and they don't belong. They flat out don't belong here. But they're here, and history will always remember them as either, a team that goes on and wins the Super Bowl, and then that New Orleans is almost a backdrop. Or what's going to happen? If all of a sudden they lose tomorrow, everyone's going to go, see, they shouldn't have been here anyway. So, that it's going to be a historic thing that we're talking about forever. I will remember that play. And I just hope it doesn't happen tomorrow. I hope the referees are not a part of it tomorrow.
Steve, we obviously know you're taking the Patriots tomorrow. Give us some analysis, though. Why does New England win? Are you worried about the possibility that the Rams finally get it right here in the last few weeks and just come out a house of fire?
You talk about a team peaking at the right time. The Patriots the last 4 weeks have just played the best football they've played all season. All due respect to the Rams, I think their toughest team might have been Kansas City that last 2 weeks ago. That running game with the Patriots, of course, Sony Michel's been playing fantastic. James White, I'm looking for a big game tomorrow. Death by a thousand cuts. A lot of 5, 6, 7 yard plays, a lot of long sustained drives, and you're putting Goff in the hot seat, and a young quarterback can be really nervous in the Super Bowl. He's had a heck of a season, but Tom Brady's been there, done that 9 times, so I just think that the experience wins out over youth this time.
You think the extra week is a detriment to Jared Goff rather than being able to come right back after the NFC title game and get in there and play?
I think it could have helped him do a 1 week. It's just that much more to think about, that much more to prepare for. And obviously Belichick's preparing against you. So, had a great season. He deserves the accolades he's received. But young quarterbacks, first Super Bowls, it's not always a guarantee.
And that's the thing. You don't know until they get out there to do it. An extra week and a half of media, hundreds of more, if not thousands of more microphones in your face at one time, the pomp and circumstance, what the Super Bowl is all about. and you're going with, there's, I mean, as far as the coaching staff, same situation they're put in. And like Tom said in hour one, the game plan, now an extra week for them to prepare against. What Sean McVay is going to roll out on the field tomorrow?
The thing that's a big question for me, of course, is Todd Gurley, as Tom alluded to earlier on, a monster in the regular season. 21 touchdowns, great receiving yards, great, obviously, yards per carry. And all of a sudden, you know, C.J. Anderson gets signed with a couple weeks to go. There's something going on that we're not aware of. There's just no other explanation for that.
Tommy?
I'm here. Sorry, guys. No. I had a hard time hearing Steve right there.
He basically was referring to a situation where...
Todd Gurley?
Right.
Yeah, as you alluded to,
the Gurley factor, yes.
Yeah, you know, it's just... Look, I'm telling you guys from the inside out, you know, there's no reason to believe that he's not healthy. But I just do, you know. The thing is this, is that everyone's looking at C.J. Anderson, but C.J. Anderson doesn't catch the ball out of the backfield. And I think that has to be looked at. And we talked about, one of the points I want to throw at you, and especially Steve, who's a Patriots fan, Steve, look, we talked about Sue and Donald and all the stars on the Rams defense. We spoke about all the stars on the Patriots and Rams offense. There, most people listening can't name four people on the Patriots defense. And I think that's a problem. Look, Kyle Van Noy is a really good player that stepped it up here. Gilmore's good, but there's no guy to lean on. And I think that that's one of the things that you're missing. I mean, Bruce in the old days, you know, you have that one guy that you wait to make that play. Is it Hightower? Is it Van Noy? Who has stepped up, in your opinion, to be the guy when the Rams are driving late in the game, maybe to take the win? Who's the guy you're going, okay, he's going to make the play right now?
Well, I tell you, Kyle Van Noy has been stepping up. I've really enjoyed his play in the postseason. I mean, you the old adage, nose for the football. You don't see a play end when he's not pretty darn close to the action. So he's the guy that I would really have high hopes and high expectations for tomorrow.
What's the game plan tomorrow for the Pats? Is it the same that we saw against Kansas City? Just start running the ball.
Time of possession. Yeah. Short passes. Sony Michel, keep doing what he's doing. And the deep ball, once you lure him in, you'll start throwing a deep ball or two. But I think a lot of those 6, 7, 8 yard pass plays, extended handoffs, just those little death by a thousand cuts. I just look at it as keep that offense off the field. If you're New England's offense, keep Goff on the sideline.
Steve, where are you watching the game tomorrow?
I've been invited out. I haven't made up my mind yet. I don't like to use the word psychopath, but I'm an intense fan, so it might be better if I watch it at home. So we shall see. I have a couple invitations, which are very nice, but I might end up just sitting on my couch tomorrow.
I'm going to let this guy...
Hey, Steve, are we going to see you, like, on Twitter, like one of those guys, like, throwing the key through the wall and stuff like that?
More of a Facebook guy, but I will be careful not to do that. My TVs are fairly new, so I actually got to think long term if something bad happens.
I'm going to let my second favorite sports radio talk show host get on right now. Brian Feldman out of line, Fox Sports 98.9 FM on Sunday mornings. You got a show in a few hours, man.
Yeah, I do. It's all right. I'm here. You know, I never sleep on Saturday nights anyways, Timmy, as you know. So I'll be there tomorrow with bells on. We'll be ready to rock and roll at Buffalo Wild Wings out at the Montecito Crossing Plaza at 8 o'clock in the morning, man. Come on, I've got a lot of people coming out tomorrow, so it'll be exciting.
I heard you can have some donuts out there.
Donuts, bagels, orange juice. We'll have everything. Everything except for Brady supporters. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But, no, it's going to be a good time, man. But I wasn't going to miss coming on your show for the first time. I get the invite. I could have been on death's bed, and I'd be here, brother. Come on, man.
So we have 3 votes for the Patriots tomorrow. We got 2 for the Rams. You're the deciding vote here if you're a Patriots fan. If not, we're deadlocked.
Well, you know, I'm not a Patriots fan. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, as far as the GOAT goes, if you're not a fan of the GOAT, I used to say it with being a Detroit fan and being a fan of Michael Jordan's. You know, you hated the Bulls, but if you didn't like Jordan, you didn't like sports, you weren't a real fan. You can't tell me you don't like Tom Brady and you're going to say that he did a bunch of things that made him who he is. He's the GOAT, period. But I can't bet against the Patriots, Timmy. I mean, I know they're slightly favored. They could get blown out, and they could blow out the Rams. Anything could happen, but I just am never going to put money flat on the game when the Patriots are playing it in the postseason. As you alluded to, Steve, this team in the last 4 weeks has played unbelievable football. And the truth is, are you surprised? That's what they do every year. Remember, this is the same team that got beat by 20 points by the Detroit Lions in week 4 of the NFL season, and now they're on the brink of another Super Bowl champion. This is the New England Patriots, period, man.
So what's going to happen tomorrow?
I think that it's going to, you know, I think the Patriots are going to win the game. I think it's going to hopefully be a good Super Bowl. I don't know if I'm wishful thinking here. But one thing you guys haven't talked about, what's going to happen? The Patriots are going to win. Okay, I'm going to go on that side of the point. One thing you haven't talked about, or at least haven't heard recently, is the Gronk factor. I understand he's old, he's used up, but he is a nightmare matchup for any team he plays against. And if this guy, and you know what, he's got heart. I don't care if the arm is messed up, if the knee in the back. Gronk gets one game. He'll do whatever it takes in the field, and Gronk is a competitor. And I'm telling you right now, we're not talking about him. I believe he will be the difference maker in this game and the guy that wins the game for the New England Patriots because nobody's talking about him. It's like, ah, Gronk's over the hill. This could be his last year if Brady moves on. Or come on, man. It's still Rob Gronkowski in the Super Bowl. I'd start him at tight end, man.
Oh, let me jump in here because I am a big Gronk fan, but I couldn't disagree with you more. Look, there is the sentiment that, oh, Gronk's going to step up his play because all of a sudden, you know, he's retiring. The over-under for catches in the game is 3.5. I'm just going to give you his season recently, okay? Let's go through it. We're going to start from, after the Kansas City game. Here's what we got. Catches, 3, 3, 3, 3, 8, 2, 0, 2, 1, and 6. Two weeks. In the last 20, has he caught more than 3 balls? And now this is a Rams defense that's going to be, you know, zeroed in on him. I'm sorry, man. I want to believe. I hope I'm wrong. I love Gronk, okay? I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right, Brian. He's just not the same guy. And maybe 2 weeks off can help a pulled groin or a heel. He's got a back problem. Look at what that's done to guys like John Mattingly in his career and some really great players in all kinds of sports. This is a tech problem. Can't jump, can't leap. The only reason why Gronk even had a decent line last was because of that last drive. I can't disagree with you more, and I hope that I'm wrong, but man, I'm looking at the numbers. Not a bad year. He had an awful year.
It would make sense based on the numbers and based on logic with the numbers that Gronk would, 3.5 is a good number, and I'll bet there's a lot of sharps that'll go under on that. I just think this is the biggest game, and like you said, he very well could retire. He's got back problems, but it's one game. And believe me, you don't think the Rams are saying, oh, we don't need to worry too much about Gronk. He's not really going to be a factor in this game. They're thinking like you are, Tommy. They're knowledgeable fans, and so am I. And I'm saying that this could be a game for him. And I like it a lot. I just really think that nobody's talking about him except for you on the negative end, and I'm not disagreeing. I could be totally wrong, but I really feel that this is a game. I love the over the 3.5 catches, and I think Gronk is going to – matter of fact, I'll say it right now. I said it earlier. Shoot me if I'm wrong, but I think Gronk's going to get one, maybe two touchdowns tomorrow in the game. And it'll be shocking, and maybe he'll go out on top. But, you know, it's all going to depend, man. If Aaron Donald and the Dominican Sue get to Tom Brady, which they are going to be pinning their ears back and coming for him, Gronk might not see the football. Nobody might.
You know, what's funny is that I kind of agree with the touchdown. I think he gets like one or two catches, but one of them will be a touchdown, partially because, you know, it is his last game. His nightmare, you know, in underneath the zone and in that touchdown range, he doesn't have to jump, he doesn't have to run. You know, he's just got to kind of be there. So I'm not against the touchdown. I just want to give you guys the numbers, though, that 3.5 catches is deceivingly low.
Everybody sees those numbers, though, Tommy. And Bill Belichick, come on, is there? You're talking about the all-time genius. You want to talk about the GOAT, you can say he's cheated before. Bill Belichick's also the GOAT. You got two GOATs on the Patriots. And, you know, this guy is going to devise a game plan knowing that everyone thinks Gronk isn't going to be a big factor. And like I said, Tommy, who covers Gronkowski? Patrick Chung? Who can cover this guy? There's nobody on the Patriots team, team, that can cover
him. But, Brian, he covers himself. And here, this is my worry. He covers himself. In the Buffalo game, he had 8 targets go his way. He only caught 3 of them. 7 targets, only caught 3 of them. Last week, he had a great game, right? He had 11 targets go his way. He only caught 6. I mean, you know, he might look to him. Brady might look to him 6, 7, 8 times. And he might only catch 2 or 3 balls. It almost doesn't matter. If he is in a position where he's got to make an athletic play, his body's just not able to hold up to that athletic play.
Steve, I think where Gronk comes into play is what we saw 2 weeks ago against Kansas City, final drives, where I think even Romo predicted, he goes, you got to go to Gronk here. And sure as you know what, they went to him, third down conversions. I believe he had two third down conversions where they just couldn't cover him. And that might be the difference where Gronk plays into this game. If it's close, and they have a chance to win the game, Gronk's going to get the looks.
One-on-one coverage, he's still unstoppable. I mean, you absolutely, and if he's double covered, that means Edelman's by himself. Right. You have to make a choice, and if you make that choice, Brady's looking to Gronk because he obviously can read the defenses. As he said, I have all the answers at this point. I've seen every defense over 20 years. Brady recognizes that one-on-one. Romo points it out, and boom, Gronk's the man to go to.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you also, Steve, on that. And I mean, another guy, if Gronk is covered or he's not playing in the game, the guy you mentioned, James White, this is his game, man. This is his stage, and he seems to do it all the time. What a great option out of the backfield. And you'll see him mixing a lot with Sony Michel, too. I just don't know, man. Do you really see the Patriots getting beaten, Timmy?
I don't.
Yeah, I just don't, man. I just don't. Tom Brady loses two Super Bowls in 365 days and two Super Bowls back-to-back. That's really going to happen to the New England Patriots? I don't see it.
Hopefully not.
I don't see it. I want it to.
Tom, give us a couple names of we obviously we all like James White. We know Gronk. We know Gurley. We know the big names. If there were to be a under the radar type of player tomorrow that stands out, who would it be in your opinion?
Oh, you always get that in the Super Bowl, right? You always get that weird guy that comes out of nowhere. I'll tell you who I'm looking at. Cordell Patterson. This is a guy that's absolutely explosive. We've only seen the best that's ever done it. Devin Hester return a open kickoff, but he could be good on the kicking game. I know Hecker is pretty darn good, but look, sometimes those excellent kicks that you outkick your coverage for lack of a better term here. And Cordell Patterson has been spot. He's been used as an end around. Could you see Cordell Patterson running one back and getting another touchdown in a random way? We saw Desmond Howard do it, right? So, yeah, he's a name that I'm looking at. Not on the Rams side, we're looking at all these players, and everyone's talking about the big names and the Cooks and all the big offensive players. And listen, everyone's kind of forgetting about Robert Woods. You mentioned Cooper Kupp, or somebody mentioned Cooper. And Cooper Kupp, I think Chris did. Cooper Kupp was his security line. He was that guy. And then Robert Woods took over that spot. And he is Jared Goff's security blanket now. Could I see a situation where Gilmore shuts down Cook and they just go to Robert Woods, 12 catches, 135 yards or something like that? I absolutely could. I know it's not completely, a guy out of nowhere. But that is a guy that just isn't getting talked about at all. It's the first time we're mentioning him on the air.
Brian, what about a guy like Chris Hogan?
Oh, Chris Hogan. I mean, he's a guy that I've always expected to be better, but he never. Julian Edelman still remains the guy. Gronk and Hogan's always kind of lost in the mist. I really wanted to go back to Cordell for a second because Tommy, first touchdown of the game. I looked at this initially and I looked at Cordell Patterson. I thought, wow, that is it's really unique. He is 25-1 to score the first touchdown. Ironically, that is the same odds as Jared Goff to score the first touchdown. And Brady is 30-1 to score the first touchdown, which is the highest player on the board. What do you think of taking a guy like Cordell Patterson to score the first touchdown? So you're talking about a lousy $10 bet. What about on that one at 25-1?
Don't do it. Don't do it because you can get 75-1. 75-1 if you think that the opening kickoff will be returned by the Patriots. 100-1 if you think the opening kickoff will be returned. So if you're going to do it, get the full value, right?
Right.
The opening kick, get the full value. But it's not a bad situation. Look, like I said, everyone looks at Johnny Hecker. Oh, he's fantastic. And he is fantastic. But there is the idea that, listen, it's the first time that he's seen nerves. I like Patterson, I think you're on to something.
Steve.
Sir.
Give me the reverse of what happens tomorrow, and it's a nightmare for you. How do the Rams beat the Patriots?
Gurley, a healthy Gurley, because he is just a clock killer, and that takes away time. If Gurley holds on to that ball, gets his 25, 28 carries, that's really bad news for the Patriots. That means he's moving the ball. That means Brady's sitting on the sideline, and the Rams are scoring. So that's my worst-case scenario. Hopefully they get to Gurley early and often. C.J. Anderson, heck of a back, but he's not Todd Gurley. He's had a great spurt, but Gurley was a monster all season long.
I still got to go with Timmy. Defense wins championships. And if you want to talk about what's going to be a nightmare for the Patriots, it's a guy we mentioned, a guy who arguably could be the MVP of the league in Aaron Donald, who is a millennial player, Khalil-esque Mac. And then you got Ndamukong Suh, who's kind of rejuvenated his career in Los Angeles. He's kept himself in control and under wraps this year. If those two guys hurt Tom Brady, you're in a lot of trouble. And believe me, if there's two defensive bookends that can do it, it's Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald. The offensive line of the Patriots, to me, is also a key to this game. They have got to protect Tom Brady. Tom Brady's not Jared Goff, who can run outside the pocket a little bit. Tom Brady needs to be in the pocket, and if that collapses on him, it could be a very long night for Tom Brady tomorrow.
I couldn't agree more, but what I love is Brady's last 90 pass attempts, he hasn't been touched.
Yeah,
90
true,
pass
true.
Attempts, and that's against two really good defenses, two defenses that can rush the passer.
They have Aaron Donald, though.
They do not have Aaron Donald, no argument at all.
What about another under the radar, Brandon Cooks, against his old team?
Brandon Cooks, man, he's just speed to spare. He's mm-hmm. just fun to watch. I would assume they're looking at him as a double coverage. That's the guy that you'd really want to take out, no explosive plays. So I'm looking at him being bracketed tomorrow. I don't see man-to-man. Gilmore, maybe. Why are you taking him on man-to-man? But that's the guy that I think Belichick is planning for in these last 2 weeks.
You think you'll leave Robert Woods uncovered? You go two-on-one. You're putting one-on-one on Woods, and Woodsy can get it done, man. I think Robert Woods is a guy that is on his way to being an upper echelon receiver in the National Football League. And I don't know that you can double cover Cooks with him out there. I just don't know you can do it.
I think Cooks is the one of the two that you double. My opinion. And you go one-on-one with Woods.
Tom?
We know this. We know Belichick is always, you take away the number one weapon and usually take away the number one and number two. Short left, I don't know, and help. But okay, run on me and look at what you guys could do with your second and third and fourth guys. The Rams have their second, third, and fourth guys. I believe that 100% is look, Belichick's sitting in the back and he's going, I'm not sure if Gurley's healthy or not, but Gurley's not beat. Right? Gurley's not beat. And I'm not afraid of Gerald Everett or Higby, although they might be an interesting part. He's not afraid of them. And I keep hearing, Stan's been so good. Look, he's performed well. I don't think that Bill Belichick is afraid of him. So you take away Gurley, you got to pick somebody else to take away. And I think it's Cook. What I believe is they're going to take Gilmore and they're going to say, Gilmore, we're going to trust you, at least early part of the game. We're going to trust you with Cook one-on-one. And we're going to load the box, even bring up Patrick Chung a little bit, maybe a step or two, to just completely shut down Todd Gurley. And if you shut down Todd Gurley early, you know, we could see right away exactly what he's all about. If he's healthy, if he's not healthy, if he is not running and performing well, you could switch it up at the half and then all of a sudden go and take away, you know, something like Cook and Pierce. But we know that Belichick's philosophy is take away the number one weapon, do not let that guy beat you. And most of the time, he takes away the number one and two weapons, and you have to find your third and fourth guy.
Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio. It's time for our final timeout here on a Saturday night, live at the Beer Park on the Las Vegas Strip. Last segment coming up. I think we're going to touch a little bit on Rebel basketball, and then we'll get our final predictions at the end of the show. Back at it, Heatwave Sports.
Now back to Heatwave Sports. Here's Tim Unglesby and Tom Barton.
And we are live from the Beer Park on the Las Vegas Strip. Brian Feldman, take a look at this view right here, man. Tell me this is not a beautiful spot to do this.
Oh, my God, are you kidding me? This is so awesome. And every now and again, the things that are walking by, you know, did I say that? No.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. We're breaking down Super Bowl 53, but we're going to take, you know, we've been talking about it for an hour and a half now. We're going to take a quick little trip over to UNLV land because that's the home team here in Las Vegas. Another loss, gentlemen, to Utah State today, 82-65. They now fall to 11-10 on the year, 5-4 in the Mountain West Conference. It doesn't get any easier on, what is it, Tuesday at Boise State. And I don't want to hear this, Chris Wynn, that at least the Rebels outscored the Aggies by 3 in the second half today. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, well, it's tough if you look at the numbers, bottom line, particularly in the first half. Look, the Aggies outscored the Rebels 27-10 over the final 10 minutes of the first half in this game. Ends up taking the 48-28 lead there at the end of the first half. Look, it's a 40-minute game, you guys, and that's the thing. In college basketball, you know, if you're on the road particularly and you're UNLV and you're not as extremely talented as your opponent, it's going to be difficult. And then, and you, if you have a first half like that, where you're dropping, they're getting a 20-point lead on you, it's very difficult to come back. And that was the case as they end up going down up there in Logan, Utah.
Brian, I you know, us being in the media, quote unquote media, we have opinions, and then there's guys that you feel that their opinion is based on maybe some work that they do with certain universities, and they have an opinion because they don't want to have the negativity come out, right? We don't have to worry about those kind of things. And I think that for as much as Tommy and I get called Rebel haters, the proof is in the pudding, right? And look, you work with the university, you work with a lot of guys, or you're at every press conference. You just sat here during the break and told me that you think Marvin Menzies comes back next year. And I'm not disagreeing with your analysis at all. I understand where you're coming from. I just think that now we've seen 3 back-to-back-to-back, right, 17-point losses. We're not confident what's going to happen at Boise. That's a tough matchup on the road. Fresno, a very good basketball team, comes to town on Saturday. I mean, we knew how the schedule was going to lay itself out, and they would have to hit this murderer's row. I just think there's too much heat on him right now. And if he doesn't figure out a way to at least be contend in these games that we saw earlier this year, I don't think he comes back.
You know, Timmy, it's amazing because it's not that I'm sitting here saying I'm pro Marvin Menzies or I'm anti Marvin Menzies. I'm not saying either one. And I'll say straight out, and you know, people always say, I don't know if he's the guy for that. I don't think he is the guy long term for the job. I don't. But here's the deal. It is his third season. The first season you have to completely throw out. He came in here as a last-second replacement to Chris Beard when he bailed on UNLV, and we see what kind of coach they would have had. But, you know, the bottom line, it's his third season. Last year, he gets this one-and-done guy in Brandon McCoy, who really never really – you know, Brandon was a good guy. I interviewed him a few times, but he didn't care. He was going to the NBA, and he didn't have that in the heart. This year's team, I'm looking at a guy like Joel Ntombwe. Once this guy learns how to play defense, he's athletic enough too, he has to understand that the game isn't offense all the time. He's going to be a great player. And yes, I said the word great. If he stays 4 years at UNLV, this guy could end up in the NBA. He could. And you've got these other guys. You got Mbake Jong, who is without question the most improved guy on this team from last year to this year. He has morphed into a Division I player, and he's a big, tall guy that can block shots, and he developed a great deal. For God's sakes, he might get a cup of tea down the road in the NBA because of his size and his agility. You've got Shakur Justin, arguably the beginning of the season, the best player this team has. Menzies hasn't used that as an excuse, and I'll give him credit. But if I would have told you, Chris Wynn, at the beginning of the season, that who's the one guy UNLV can't lose? Tell me who you would have said.
It would be absolutely Shakur Justin.
Who did they lose early in the season?
Absolutely. And it went down that way.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Brian, this is the thing with me and Tim and Tommy. This is the thing with me and Marvin Menzies. Look, it's about, you know, you're going to analyze it game by game, you know, as you're going through the season.
Okay.
We don't just take a look at, you know, a two-game span or take a look at, you know, what he did against lesser competition, which, let's be quite honest about it, and Tim pointed it out, the schedule, it was soft, okay, early on up until about a week and a half ago.
And they blew it.
The schedule was not conducive to, you know, going against powerhouses. Let's be honest about it, okay? So they were able to, you know, build a record that was respectable, and then, you know, and then the people that were big-time pro Marvin Menzies or big-time UNLV no matter what, we're saying, oh, you know, look at this, you know. There's a possibility we could have gone 5-0 to start the Mountain West season, you know, and there's a possibility we could be 12-5 at some point in the season and just roll from there. Now they've hit a rough spot, and the rough spot is against, you know, we would say mediocre teams and some decent teams, okay? And as Tim pointed out, the schedule's going to get tougher, so for me, it's going to be it's about an analyzing, you know, how do they respond to Marvin in game situations, and do you get into scenarios like they did today, where you're down 29 points with 8 minutes left in the second half to Utah State, who's not ranked, okay? And they shouldn't be in these types of positions against the type of competition they're facing in the Mountain West. So I think that's the people that are naysayers on Marvin Menzies and say, oh, you know, they're going to play out the string, but, you know, it looks like he could be out the door. Those people, I mean, it gives it some merit because, look, it's I don't think anybody's under the illusion, right, that this team is going to go into the Mountain West tournament and knock off three decent teams in the Mountain West.
Not a chance.
So what are we talking about here?
We're talking about...
As far as progression of a program.
We're talking about nothing.
Next year,
with all these people out there, the people that he recruited, an actual team that has some seasoning under Menzies, all I'm saying is see what he can do with this team. Instead of bringing somebody else next year to take his team to a Mountain West championship, not that that will happen, but if they did, and get all the credit when Marvin Menzies put them together. Let's see what they have, because I am looking at a couple of good players on this team. Can he coach? Like I said, I don't think he's the guy. Chris, you know, at the beginning of the season, I was calling for his job before it even started. But watching it, looking at this team, let me ask you guys something.
Because this is something that I've said. Can we just wait? I mean, look, it's our job to sit here and talk about it. But can we wait until the end of the year? Look, it happened to me 3 days ago. I'm going, wow, this team is looking better than I thought. I said that they would go 4-7 the rest of the way. But what happens if they completely tank? What happens if they get one win for the rest of the year? Marvin Menzies is a disaster. But if they could turn it around, look, we haven't seen it in the last 3 weeks. What if they do go 7-4? Or now, 7-3 or the last situation. What if they go into the Mountain West tournament and they win two games, right? They play competitively in the third game. There's a lot of season left to play. I think what we know about Marvin Menzies is this. He's not an overly good coach. He's not an overly terrible. I don't think he's a complete disaster coach. But I don't think we have enough to go on him to get rid of him now. And to Brian's point, he's not going anywhere right now, right? I mean, he's coming back next year unless we have a complete debacle.
No, I don't think there's any question about that, guys, right? I think we would all agree that there's not going to be a Dave Rice scenario here, right? Where they make a change during the season or even on the back end of the season. And I think you're absolutely right, Tommy. That's going to be the end game here, is that they're going to wait to the end of the season. I'm just saying that those of us here that we live here in Las Vegas, Tim, and all of us that live in Las Vegas, we see what the boosters here talk about and what the fans talk about and what the people around UNLV in the program. And look, there's a lot of people, their minds are already past Marvin Menzies as the coach. They're already thinking about they're already thinking about maybe bringing in a Rick Pitino or a Larry Eustace or a Steve Lavin. But Tommy, you know what I'm saying, right? They're already, their mindset is already gone.
They would stone him
for a minute.
Yes.
I don't want to cut you off. Can we stop with the Pitino talk? I mean, all I hear from everybody coming out of Vegas is Pitino. For 3 years, I've heard Pitino's name. Guess what? The UCLA job is going to open up. Where do you think he's going to go if he's got a choice to go? And I know for a fact that the UCLA people are hoping that he gets cleared and he's able to come. Do you think he's choosing UCLA or UNLV Rebels, guys? Let's be honest.
Well, let's be honest, Tommy. The UCLA program right now isn't exactly in pristine condition, to say the least, in that conference. So.
UCLA.
Well, look, I mean, you're making, this is Vegas, so, you know, there is a elevated feeling among the fans here and a lot of the boosters that, hey, we can get whoever we want. So if we had the possibility that we could go out there and get Rick Pitino, they would do it. You know, if we could get a Jay Wright, they could go out and do it. If they could get, you know, somebody on that level, it'd be a possibility. So
Steve Alford.
Yeah, Steve Alford. Even Steve Alford. So, like, yeah, so that's, you know, that's kind of the mentality here, Tommy. You know the deal here. I mean, you know how
all
the fans
I know
are.
It. It's just, you know, I'm telling you, we got to try to calm people down. You're right. Yeah, we can go get Jay right now. Why don't we go get Coach K, too? You know, come on.
But Brian's right. If you open the checkbook, you can get whoever the hell you want to coach this team.
Damn straight. Mm-hmm. The key is, will the Board of Regents agree to paying a coach the money that it is going to take to get the right guy here? And that's why Menzies, Tommy, you're 100% right. And that's what I'm saying. He gets another year, and I'm just saying to give it to him because I want to see what this team that he's recruited that is very, very youthful I want to see what they are capable of doing next year, because this year's a wash. I don't care. I think it's going to be a lousy rest of the season. There's no way they're going 7-4. Yeah. I'll bet anybody right now that's not happening. But I still say he's going to come back next year, even though everyone's screaming for his job, and we'll see what he does next year. Do I think he's the guy for the job? Again, for those of you that think I'm a Menzies supporter, I'm saying no. I think Marvin needs to be an assistant coach somewhere.
Unless there's a backroom deal made, he probably comes back, right?
100%.
They're not talking to people and figuring out finances. What infuriates me is watching today's game, and yes, I wasted time watching it. Utah State runs this motion offense, fluid, wide open threes. And I'm thinking to myself, they're never going to – Utah State's never recruiting anybody, right? They get – the secondary best kids that come out of Utah.
Sam Merrill is a special ball player.
Come on, who doesn't want to go to Utah?
Utah State. Not even Utah. Utah State, right?
And then Air Force. State of Utah. Come on.
Yeah, I get you. Air Force. Cadets.
Don't
right?
they have
Structure.
Magic underwear there and stuff, right?
And see, that's another element, too, about Menzies. Look, has it been the post-game situations and some of the things he said, Tommy and Tim and Brian, about, certain endings of games and using quote-unquote excuses and given spots, like particularly when they were at Air Force in that game at Kluwer Arena, and he talked about the cadets and how, there's 2,000 students down on the baseline. I mean, it obviously affected us, and it was a major factor as to why we lost the game. It's just stuff like that, I think, that a lot of the Marvin Menzies naysayers jump on, and I think it's justified in certain circumstances, given some of the stuff that he said in post-game press conferences.
All right, I'm just going to be honest and tell you why I'm back in Marvin Menzies. I want to get invited to the barbecue again next year. All right?
That was a quality barbecue. I will.
The best asabuco I've ever had in my life, okay?
There's no excuse.
Not for nothing, guys. I'm going to be honest, from an outside looking in, just the fact that they would have that is already just making me go, guys.
It's 100%. What are you doing?
Media barbecue.
It was quality, though, Tommy. We're talking Gator Bites. We're talking ribs. We're talking a great setup over at
Asabuco.
Over at the UNLV head coach's house.
Did I just break confidence? Because there was a sign that said...
I wonder if people are remembering the Asabuco instead of writing the story that they
I did. There was a sign that said, what did it say? Off the record.
Brian, we're good to go. That ship has sailed, okay? It's a while ago, so I think we're all right.
Tom and I are still waiting for our invitation, by the way.
Next year.
I'll
make sure I get you on the list.
I look at today's game, blown out by Utah State. Mm-hmm. These schools aren't out recruiting UNLV when you just say come to Vegas to play. Reno, they're not out recruiting UNLV because of where they are, right? Eric Musselman did that.
Well, Tim and Tommy and Brian, how many times have I gotten in my soapbox about this? There is only one school in the Mountain West that should be anywhere near recruiting as well as UNLV, and that's San Diego State. Okay? I mean, let's be honest about it. You look at all the other schools in the Mountain West, and to think that they could be out-recruited by UNLV makes no sense to me. I could go even on a grander scale and say, hey, there's only been, three schools on the West Coast that have won a national championship ever? Okay, and one of them happens to UNLV. No, I get it. Okay, I get it. It was 1991. But still, the point being is that, there should not be an issue in the Mountain West when it comes to recruiting with UNLV. It's just crazy to me that there actually is.
Have you seen the cheerleaders from Wyoming? That's a good recruiting tool.
Okay.
I saw the cheerleaders from
Utah
State.
They did have Fennis Dembo back in the day. They had some pieces over there with the Cowboys. But, no, I see you working,
Tommy.
They just
had Larry Nance Jr., man.
Yeah, there's a couple pieces over there.
We don't even have the best cheerleaders. Think about that.
Well, they won a national championship, didn't they, just recently, the cheerleading or the Rebel Girls?
You would know that, Brian. I don't know.
At the game, they had them all out on the floor at the last game. They brought them all out and congratulated them.
But what's crazy is that, look, we talk about the talent. There has been talent here over the past five, 6 years.
Are we talking about the cheerleaders still?
I'm talking about the UNLV program. I'm talking about Anthony Bennett. I'm talking about Patrick McCaw. I'm talking about Zimmerman and Rashad Vaughn, Brandon McCoy, guys who came in highly touted, right? And guys who were getting recruited at Division I big-time programs. So this whole thing about, UNLV, they never get any talent here. Not true. You know, they've had to have that talent there. They just haven't had the right cohesive either coaching staff and, you know, coaching staff and roster that's put it all together and made it successful.
Yeah, I can't argue. One of the things you guys said that I didn't want to say about, because you know I've always been a big advocate on the way you judge a coach is the way they coach in the locker room at halftime and they come out in the second half, and that's indicative of their ability to coach a team. This year, though, like you said, and I agree with you, Tommy, I don't want to hear anybody talking about somebody saying they're doing better in the second half. These last couple of games, Utah State put the brakes on, and so did Nevada. Mm-hmm. They could have blown them out by 40 points either game. They put the brakes on in the second half. I don't even know why. Maybe they were just working on things because they knew they were going to kill UNLV. This is not – you can't use this year as that.
The Aggies were up 82-56 at one point with, I believe, 3 minutes left, right? And they end up winning the game by what? So, like – that. To your point, Brian, putting the brakes. I mean, yes, but so maybe us in the media when we're in the press conferences after the games, maybe we're not hitting Marvin hard enough when it comes to what he's doing as far as halftime adjustments and things like that. That could be a look. Maybe we're just a little bit soft when it comes to that type of thing. It's a possibility, given that it's a team that doesn't seem a lot of the games this year they haven't come out and improved themselves in the second half after having a horrendous first half.
Are you insinuating that the media throws softball questions to our coaches out here?
I could be directing it somewhat towards that. That could be a possibility. Yes,
it happens. But
I get reprimanded for the questions I ask, man. I got them coming to me and telling me, pulling me in the back room and saying, you know, what are you doing asking the coach how many wins it's going to take for him to win? You know, I literally did. I didn't ask him how many games he had to win, but I said, you know, did you have a conversation with Desiree Reed Francois about what it's going to take? And he goes, Brian, are you asking me how many games I've got to win to maintain my coach? I go, well, I didn't put it that way, coach, but yeah. He starts laughing, and I go, coach, it's a very viable question. At being a member of the media, I get asked that all the time. Are you going to keep your job? How many games are you going to win? So instead of me giving my educated guess, I can get it straight from the horse's ass, so to speak. Yeah. So why don't you tell me? And he never did tell me, but that, you know, you're going to laugh at the question.
The mere fact that he came up to you and questioned your question.
No, it wasn't him. It wasn't him that did it. It was their media relations director. I'll leave the names out of it.
Whoever it was, Brian, you're part of the media. You're just that. Just listen to the statement that you came up with a Bible question and got reprimanded for it.
I did.
God forbid. Such the great Marvin Mendy or Coach Sanchez. I mean, guys are adults. You know what I mean? This is a boost program, right? Do we really believe that this is going to happen to other programs? No, it wouldn't. Now, maybe in Alabama you can't touch Saban for a good reason, but this is Marvin Mendy. Come on.
Yeah, Timmy, what they should do is they should have John Sandler just go in the press room and ask all the questions. Because we know what the fouls were the worst that I ever saw. Oh, my God. I can't believe he fouled. I mean, if I can't listen to John and he's on our station, I could be in trouble for this. But I just can't anymore. I just can't do it. I got to watch it online.
Well, man. No. For me with John, I understand it. Him and Rod, so obviously, you're the play-by-play and the color voice for the team. So we're all going to know where you're coming from.
But it's
understand.
Too much, Chris.
Come on. But you know the deal. Every major Division I program, their radio and television teams are going to be quote unquote on their side. So
I don't ever remember George Blaha.
What I will say, Brian, what I will say, and Tim and Tommy, is that yes, I think it is very fair to say that the media, and I include myself in that's covered the team for almost 8 years now. I mean, look, there are times where I think we are light on the UNLV running Rebels. And I'm not just talking about basketball. I'm talking about football as well, too. I think that we don't exactly – we're not going to be mistaken, let's put it this way, for the New York or Chicago media or even a Detroit media where they will – you know, they'll call you out on the horse and say, hey, you know, what's the deal here? I just don't see that. That's not really the climate that we have here media-wise in Las Vegas. And so, it's either good or bad, however you look at it. But to me, I think it's more than fair to say that about how this team's covered.
Well, on our show, we do call them out, and
yes,
we're haters for it. So, you know, that's how it goes.
I try not to be a hater, but, I mean, all I'm going to do is just say what I see and what I feel. Yeah. And if somebody's offended by that, it's never personal. I love doing this. It's not personal, man. This is about what we see and feel in our educated expert opinion. That's all it is.
Well, I wouldn't say you guys are haters, and Tim and Tom, you guys do your show. I wouldn't call you guys haters. Look, you guys have a perspective, and you analyze it, and, you know, you have an opinion. And that's interesting. That's why, look, sports radio, that's what it's all about. You know, you don't just hear the numbers and people breaking stuff down. I want to hear how you feel about certain teams and about certain games and how things are going to play out. So for me, that's kind of the way I look at it with this UNLV team, particularly on the basketball side, is that I think at times the entire media can be a little bit laid back, so to speak. When it comes to the approach.
I want to know if Tommy would change his opinion about UNLV if he was invited to the next luncheon. I mean, Tommy, I'm telling you, that Asabuco dude, it made my toes curl. I'm just letting you know.
Well, I would be worried that the food would be poisoned for the things that I think about it. So.
Right. Yeah, they'll invite you purposely.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised some E. coli didn't break out after that little soiree went down. Because
he's going to have another one right before the Western Conference.
Because there were some people that had laid into Marvin before that were also present there. So Tommy, you got to make sure you make some space for next year.
What happened? Bill Belichick will not have the media over for a brunch and a luncheon barbecue, right?
That would not happen, okay? Because first of all, there
would
be like three words coming out of his mouth the whole time. Is that we're on to Cincinnati? That's all he would say.
He'd be like, eat your chicken, boys. And there's arsenic all over it. Yeah. Eat your chicken, boys.
Guys, where's the ketchup? Where's the mustard?
Good stuff, man.
All right, let's wrap this up, guys. It's been a great night over at the Beer Park, the Las Vegas trip. So what I want from everybody is a winner, an MVP, and if you like a prop, let's throw it out for the listeners so they can, well, I mean, books are still open until, what, 4 a.m.? So there's plenty of time if you feel like you want to throw some little, like Brian says, a few little ducats down on some prop bets here. So, Tom, we'll start with you, a winner, an MVP, and your favorite prop bet.
Yeah, I'm taking Patriots by one. I hope my Indomitable comes out, but it's not going to. I'll take greatest athlete in American history that we've ever seen as the MVP, just adding to his legacy. Prop bet, my best prop bet. I love the Tom Brady over 295 yards. I like James White over 5.5 catches are my two biggest prop plays. That's it for me, guys. I'm pretty pumped about this game. I think we're going to get treated to a real good game.
And anybody listening that wants to get more analysis from you, Tommy, or maybe a few extra plays, where do they go to find you?
Well, I told you guys I didn't like the game itself. I love the total, though, guys. Go check it out at TomBartonSports.com. I got a bunch of prop plays out there as well. Go check it out, guys, at TomBartonSports.com. And check me out all week in New York, or you guys can go right to the web. It's Sports Garden, GARTEN. Lots of good interviews this week. It's Bert Osborne. We had Ryan Leaf was a pretty decent interview, I heard. I know you heard that.
Love that one.
Well, good updates on him as well. So good insight, good interviews. You guys can go check it all out.
All right, Chris. So Tommy likes the Pats. He likes Brady. He likes Brady over in yardage, and he likes James White over in receptions.
I think the fans in Los Angeles are going to be happy. Everybody that's going to be sporting the Merlin Olsen and Deacon Jones jerseys is going to be fired up. 34-24 is going to be the final. The Rams are going to win it. And the MVP is going to be Todd Gurley. He's going to have a big time game. And my prop is going to be legit because it's going to be a little cross sport action, you guys. I'm going Kyrie Irving, more points and assists than the Patriots score points. And that's my favorite prop, and I'm rolling with that, baby.
I'm going to go Pats by a touchdown.
Playing?
What's that, Tom?
Sure, Irving is playing tomorrow?
Yeah, whoever he's playing tomorrow.
He's been a little banged up. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. I don't know if he's playing tomorrow.
Yeah, I think
he might have the night off tomorrow. That's why he got that prop bet. Irvin's hurt. Yeah. So
I'm going to go Pats by a touch. I like Brady, of course, and my prop bet is tails. That's just the way it goes, man.
Oh, my God.
Give me tails.
I like tails, actually, but come on.
Yeah. Come on now.
Oh, my Lord. That was a Marvin. Did you just ask that question to Marvin?
I did.
That's a Marvin Menzies question at the press conference. What do you like, coach, heads or tails? Come on, man. I'm echoing most of the sentiments other than C wins. I'm going to go with the show host here. I'm going to say the Patriots are going to win this game by three or more points. I'm not giving you a final score. They're going to win it. My MVP is Rob Gronkowski. I'm totally kidding, Tommy. I'm going with you. It's going to be Tom Brady getting another one. And you know what I like for a prop bet? I like the first touchdown of the game, the tight end of the Rams, Tyler Higbee. 12-1,
ooh,
man.
Nice.
12-1.
Okay. Our NASCAR expert, Armando Vasquez.
Come on.
give me your winner, MVP, and your favorite prop.
The Rams by a point. And I am going to go with Jared Goff as the MVP.
Oh, wow. Steve Roy.
All right, I got to go with Tom Brady. God knows how many more times he's going to be there, but he's there now. Tom Brady, MVP, prop. Man, I'm going to go with a long shot here. Cordarrelle Patterson to put one in the end zone. I like it. I like the odds. He just always looked for a little bit of chicanery to go on in a Super Bowl game. So I like him to put one in the end zone. It's going to be Patriots. Not a comfortable win, but a 7-10-point win.
It's been a great night. We want to thank the Beer Park for having Heatwave Sports out here. And if you're looking for a place to watch the game tomorrow, it'll be here. 40-plus TVs, full food buffet, and a view of the Las Vegas Strip. For Ari Platinum, special thanks to Angel here on location and all the members of the Heatwave Sports team tonight. Have a great Sunday afternoon. We'll be back at it tomorrow night for your Super Bowl recap. Heatwave Sports, only on Fox Sports Radio. Good night.